B1 Brigadiers, we got the bad guy shook. You want to know why it is that the white media is on such a tear against the new voices of black media? You want to know why it is that they're attacking on all fronts? Because they know that the United States happens to be the Rome of its day. And by Rome, we're talking about the heart of an evil empire, the empire of white supremacy. If the United States is destabilized by us, and we're the only ones who are going to do it, the former slaves are the only ones who can do it, the only ones willing to do it. If we succeed in our mission of undermining white supremacy, then it's going to go badly, not just for the white supremacists, but for all of the others, many of whom are non-white to be sure, who are actually depending on white supremacy, who have found a comfortable place under white supremacy's boot, and are not looking to topple it, they're just looking to suffer with a little less brutality. We bring down white supremacy, a whole lot of folks ain't going to know where they're going to get their next meal from. And we're starting that process by undermining the fraud of American elections. Now take a look at this poll from Pew Research conducted just last week, showing where the Democrats stand as far as the primary process goes. And when you look at the opinion of black folks about regarding the Democrats, first thing you notice is Joe Biden's previous insurmountable lead has now shrunk. Elizabeth Warren is largely a non-entity, and Kamala Harris, she's standing at a mere 10%, and this is supposed to be for black folks overall. At least this is what Pew Research is saying, but again, this happens to be one of those polls that's meant to convince black folks of something that white power wants us to believe. But notice how among all voter demographics, black people happen to be the largest group who at this point are saying either they don't know who they're going to vote for or what have you. Either they don't know or they refuse. That's what DKRF means. At least I think it means refuse. But 45%, the largest number of black folks, are saying, I don't know which one of these scumbags I would consider voting for, or saying I wouldn't vote for them at all. That's the reason why this is happening. White folks have largely made up their minds. 2 out of 3 Hispanics have made up their minds, but among black folks, almost 50% at this late date. You would think the black folks would be the main ones, if to hear the white media tell it, black folks would be the main ones going, oh, we just can't wait to vote, we're itching in our pants, oh, we just can't get to the polls fast enough. Instead, black folks are the main ones taking a wait-and-see attitude. Black folks are looking and going, nah, nobody's getting us excited. That's what white power is concerned about. This is the reason why they're coming at us, because they can see that this has been the end result of what's happened. Somebody's telling black folks that unless there's some tangibles on the table, ain't nothing to get excited about, and the white media can't figure out how to get us excited. So CNN's decided we're going to get 4 of our trusted token Negroes, and they're going to tell black folks all the reasons why they need to vote. We're going to try to drown out the new voices of black media. And you got YouTube going, yeah, well, we know that these guys have been using our platform, so we're going to see if we can cut them off here. This is what the loyal opposition has been reduced to. Somebody is waking up a critical mass of black people, and this is becoming an affectation. As one group of black people say, you know what? You got to give me a reason to vote, which is the kind of talk that we hadn't heard from black folks in 150 years. More and more black people are hearing that message. You can't bring out the old, too many people have died for black folks to sit home on election day. Yeah, the Democrats didn't stop a damn one of those black folks from dying, so it seems to me as if those people died in vain as long as we vote without getting anything for that vote. No, the black vote is going to come with a price tag, and we're the ones setting it. And YouTube ain't going to stop it. The New York Times ain't going to stop it. The Washington Post isn't going to stop it. CNN isn't going to stop it. Now, if you want to see a proper microcosm of where all of this white media anxiety is coming from, just 3 days ago, the New York Magazine's Intelligencer section had this story about Kamala Harris. Why is Kamala Harris struggling with black voters so much? Well, as I just showed you, Kamala Harris isn't struggling. This woman's taking on water and she's going under. Yeah, you had what's-his-name Van Jones saying that a star was born. Yeah, a falling star was born. Oh, her little zinger against Joe Biden turned out to be more sizzle than steak. Who could have seen that one coming? If you didn't know better, you would swear it was just the white media telling themselves all sorts of fairy tales. They are trying to talk her up merely as a Trojan horse, a piece of bait to dangle in front of black people. Hey, here's this allegedly black woman, and she's rising in the polls. And doesn't that make you Negroes feel good to see one of yours doing well in a white media election? Doesn't that make you feel better? So you need to back her because you're going to try to live vicariously through her. I mean, she's going to be a surrogate for you, right? And black folks didn't go for it because the new voices of black media had been out there already laying the foundation to say, nah, forget it. Kamala Harris must be punished for her crimes against the sons and daughters of slavery in America. She has to be punished for it, and this is her punishment. She's going to be humiliated in front of the world, and we're the ones who are going to carry out the humiliation. But the white media is sitting here trying to act like they don't understand what's going on. They know exactly what's going on. But they desperately wish they didn't, and they want to talk around it. But the point is, they're looking at this, and even they can't deny it. Oh, so Kamala Harris went from rising in the polls, surging in the polls, to, oh God, why is she falling like a lead balloon? Yeah, the white media understands the con game that they played on themselves. But thanks to the black media, they're not able to play that game with you guys because we're keeping the drum beat steadily every day. We're making sure that you come in every day for your daily brainwashing, where we wash your mind of the white media lies. You report in so that you can get your minds right. Recently, the South Carolina Post and Courier did a little poll with Change Research, and this happened to be just a few days ago. And when you look at the poll, what do you see? This is South Carolina, supposed to be a place where old Jim Crow Clyburn holds sway. And it's supposed to be a real bellwether of what the black vote thinks. And what do you think went through the minds of white power when they looked at this poll and they saw these results? Where does Kamala Harris stand? Because if Kamala Harris can't galvanize the black vote, that means nobody can. If black folks are not going to be turning out strong for Kamala Harris, then Joe Biden's support is going to collapse, going to fold like hot laundry. And when you look at Kamala Harris's standing, where does she stand? Among black voters, she's doing more or less the same as Bernie Sanders. But when it comes to overall voters, because the black vote for Kamala Harris is so weak, she is far worse among general voters, overall voters in South Carolina. And Joe Biden, same thing. See, the black vote is what puts the Democrats in office. If we turn out strong, they win office. If we turn out weak, it becomes a nail biter, usually one they lose. And if black folks stay home, then the Democrats might as well stay home. The Democratic candidates might as well stay home. This is what's happening here. Black people are realizing the power that we have, and we're leveraging it now. We're beginning to demand that our vote has to get us all sorts of goodies and giveaways like everybody else. Everybody else gets tangibles for their vote. Now you're going to start bringing us tangibles, and you're not getting us off of this. And you can delete as many videos as you want, and you can censor as much as you want. It's not going to change it. Black folks have gotten the message, and they're going to be running with it. But this lets you know what's going on in South Carolina. And when it comes to the Democratic primaries, especially among black voters, as goes South Carolina, so goes the Democratic Party. And they can already read the tea leaves now. This pernicious influence of new black voices on the political landscape have been effectively talking to black voters and telling them no tangibles, no vote. Yeah, it's a message that's caught on, and they don't have an answer to it. Trying to censor the new voices of black media? That ain't gonna help you. Too little, too late. You should have been doing that 12 years ago. Cat's out of the bag. Too late now. This is as much your handiwork as it is the new voices of black media. This represents your effort. You guys are the force multiplier. People see what it is that we have to say because largely you're the ones who brought it to them. So this is as much your handiwork as it is ours. Those of us who are speaking on your behalf, we are mouthpieces. You're the muscle. That's how this works. White media doesn't like this because this is supposed to only be how white power works. White power has their mouthpieces, and then they got the white masses who have benefited from white supremacy who put the arm on this or that group on behalf of white supremacy. But now what's happening is black folks are throwing their weight around, and white power doesn't like it. because this threatens everything. We are demanding things that are going to require white supremacy to give up its power. And you see how these guys don't know whether to crap or go blind. That's what's happening to them. They see that we are undermining white supremacy effectively. Now, at this point, we cannot arbitrarily knock it over, but the thing is, we're making it hard for white supremacy to operate business as usual. And at some point, they're going to have to try to use something else. They're going to have to try to use some force. They're going to have to. We are forcing the issue. For the longest time, I've been saying that anyone who refuses to represent and promote the interests of foundational blacks, this is somebody who we need to charge a price for that kind of defiance. Anyone who opposes what's in our interest, we got to charge a price for it. We cannot allow anti-black racism to be some sort of victimless crime. You get to do all sorts of dirt against us and you get to do it for free. Worse than that, you get to do dirt against us and you actually make a tidy profit in the process. We got to make it where that crap stops. And now we've begun that process. Of course, we're not where we want to be yet, but the point is we're actually getting there. We're moving in the right freaking direction, and that's a game changer in and of itself. At this point, what we are doing is we are aggregating our numbers, but in time, we're going to be able to bring substantive resources to bear, and that's what white supremacy fears. What happens when these guys bring more than just their numbers? What happens when they bring some tangible resources to bear? That's when white supremacy is going to be in real trouble. And white supremacy specializes in looking 10 and 20 years down the road just to see where the trend is going. They look at a small little annoyance like what we were doing 12 years ago, and that's why they were banning us and censoring us back then. It didn't just start this year. They've been doing this stuff to me in particular for 12 years, and you notice how I haven't stopped. So do they think that just because they do more of it, that's supposed to have some sort of impact? If you haven't had an impact on me in 12 years, it's a little late now for you to think, oh, well, this will certainly run them off. Yeah, because it worked for the last 12 years, hasn't it? Professor Black Truth ran off with his tail between his legs, and he hasn't been seen nor heard from on YouTube since 2005, right? Yeah, of course. This strategy is going to be brilliant. It'll work like a charm. It's been working great so far, hasn't it? This is what white supremacy is about. White supremacy truly is insanity, doing the exact same thing over and over again, expecting some sort of different result. But then again, why shouldn't they? Black people have conditioned white supremacy to think that they can get away with it until we came along and started getting people's minds right. So no, the old game of you're going to get the black vote for free and we're going to be the useful idiots and we'll just do what we're told, that's over. We do what is in the interest of our power, not as what is in the interest of a pat on the head from this or that white constituency. That we are not doing. We are acting for ourselves, we are standing for ourselves, and we are fighting for our own power. Now everybody else gets to do that, and white supremacy ain't got a problem with it because it doesn't threaten white supremacy. But you let the black folks who came out of slavery do that, white supremacy knows an existential threat when they see one. They fear black empowerment. They should, because black empowerment is the end of white supremacy. Right now, their mission, what they're hoping to do is, especially by trying to disrupt the new voices of black media who speak to the young, they're trying to stop you guys who are going to be the next generation of black troublemakers from taking this message to heart and making it a permanent part of the political discourse in this country. They want to make it where tangibles are not part of the political constant when it comes to American politics. Every time you see black folks, it's going to be about, oh, we need a pat on the head and we need some white folks to hug us. Oh, forget about all that. Keep your pat on the head. Keep your hugs. We don't need it. What we need are our tangibles. They're trying to stop that process now. Over at the Washington Post, the official white supremacist paper of record, you had no less than Jonathan Capehart. You've seen that clown on television probably a few times. This goofball, this cornball was sitting here. The name of his article, "No reparations check of any amount could substitute for an apology." Now, family, that's what he actually had the nerve to write. That is what the freaking title of his hit piece on black folks was entitled. No reparations check of any amount could substitute for an apology. There you go. And that was just a couple of days ago, just 2 days ago that bastard wrote that. And if you want to know what contempt this Capehart clown holds us in, consider this. At the very end of his little screed, he wrote, "At bottom, I bet you an apology is what African Americans want most." The bastard actually had the nerve to write that. "I bet you an apology is what African Americans want most." He sounds like any white liberal from Seattle who never had the slightest contact with black people. That's what he sounds like. He's supposed to be a black man. Doesn't he know what African Americans want? And for him to say an apology is what African Americans want, according to who? You show me the poll that says that. What about slavery? Do black folks want an apology more than a check? But that's what he wrote. "At bottom, I bet you an apology is what African Americans want most." That scumbag actually had the nerve, the unmitigated gall, the diseased mind to write that. "No check of any amount could substitute the priceless psychological benefit of a simple and sincere apology." Imagine that for this scumbag. Imagine that. And you're not going to be seeing the National Association of Black Journalists coming out against him and saying, "Fool, sit the hell down and shut the hell up." They're not going to be doing it. You're not going to be having any of, there's not going to be any of the black talking heads on cable, the few that are left, who are going to call him out on this. Nobody will, except for the new voices of black media. We'll call him out. And you had better call him out too, because this is setting the stage for more than just some feeble attempt to deny us reparations. What this is really about is saying that black people have no right to voice any grievance on anything. Because if we cannot voice a grievance on the greatest crime in human history, then what the hell do black people have a right to object to? That's what this is really laying the groundwork for. The genocide is going to have black people saying that, well, it's not as bad as all that, because if you can say that black people don't deserve compensation for the greatest crime in human history, then what the hell do black people deserve justice for? Police shoot black people in the streets? Or any non-black person who has a gun and an opportunity guns us down the streets? Well, black people shouldn't say anything. An apology is what we need. You don't need a settlement from the city. You need an apology. You don't need the killer to be put in jail. Nothing will substitute for an apology. Yeah. Darren Wilson's still walking the streets free. But you know, an apology is what black... That's what Michael Brown's family really needs. Yeah, Walter Scott was gunned down like a dog. But you know, Michael Slager doesn't need to be in prison. An apology is what is really called for here. You see how evil that is for this bastard to try that? You see how sick that is? Because he damn sure wouldn't go up to any of the survivors of the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh and tell them, you know, no amount of incarceration, no amount of white supremacists behind bars will be able to be a substitute for an apology from the white supremacist. That's what's really called for here. He wouldn't dare go up to the Hispanics in El Paso and tell them, well, you know, that Patrick Crucius guy, he was wrong for what he did. But you know what? No amount of money and no amount of jail time for him would be a substitute for an apology. He would never go up to them and say that crap. Now, why would he come up to us and say it? "I bet you an apology is what African Americans want most." Now, he knows damn well that ain't what black folks want. Black people have been on a tear saying what we want. But his job, he knows white supremacy puts him out there. And his job is, you better get these niggers off that reparations thing. You better get them off that check. You better stop them from saying cut the check. This shows you how scared they are of cutting the check. And that lets you know that that's exactly what we need to be pushing for. Apology, hell, you can shove your apology. And knowing Jonathan Capehart, he probably wouldn't mind. You can keep your apology. Cut the check. So what does that tell you? That tells you that this is nothing more than a refutation of what we have been saying for the longest time, what the black authorities started, the whole cut the check. Yeah, because they sent their buffoons, the four idiots that they sent up to Capitol Hill to pretend to speak for you and me. And here they were in unison saying, it doesn't have to be a check, doesn't have to be a check. And now here Jonathan Capehart, as the sock puppet for the Washington Post, saying the same thing. No check could substitute for an apology. Well, tell Jonathan Capehart then, instead of the Washington Post paying him to write this crap, he should just go ahead and take an apology. Jeff Bezos should just go ahead and say, Jonathan, I'm sorry, but I can't pay you. That's okay. No paycheck could possibly amount to an apology from you. No check of any amount could substitute for your apology, so I'll accept that.
I wonder if Jeff Bezos could get away with giving that to Mr. Capehart. Give him an apology. Apologize for why you can't pay him.
And see if he says that no paycheck could possibly substitute for an apology. This is what the white media wants out there, and they're trying to get some black faces to sell this lie. Is there any doubt whatsoever now from anyone that this is bold anti-black racism, that they got their sock puppets to sell it? This is the reason why YouTube was so hot and bothered to take down my video that I posted yesterday, because CNN's doing the exact same thing, except instead of having one bootlick, they got four of them coming. I told you this was the beginning of an all-out media offensive against us, and the white media is trying to cut off any and all means of pushback that we are trying to initiate before it starts. They're trying to find a way to steamroll us. They're trying to silence the new voices of black media so that only the Capehearts and the April Ryans and the Bakari sellouts and the Angela Rye with lettuce and tomatoes on the side will be speaking. And those of us who actually speak for black folks, well, we're supposed to hopefully, if they can't snuff us out altogether, hopefully we will be less of a force. We'll be less of a constant. At least that's what the working theory is. That's what they're hoping will happen. They paid this bastard to actually say that no check could amount to a substitute for an apology. There's no check that would be as good as an apology. Man, that is nothing more than slave talk right there. Master said he was sorry for beating me and raping my wife and selling my kids. And, you know, that's important. You ain't got to do it. You ain't got to compensate me for nothing. All you got to do is say you sorry. Well, that might be good enough for Capehart, but that ain't good enough for you and me. And that the white media would have the nerve to actually post this lets you know just how much contempt that they've got for us. This is an all-out war. You want to know what a race war looks like? Look at what's happening with Tariq getting banned simply because he made a video. Take a look at what's happening with the all-out assault against myself and others. Look at how the Washington Post is giving a platform to this clown, this Capehart clown, who a lot of you thought was some sort of liberal, right? You thought he was some sort of leftist. And he showed himself to be no different than any right winger who says black folks don't need a check. That's what this article was meant to do. This is the left wing version of black folks don't need a check. In fact, before it's all over, they'll be saying black folks don't deserve a check. And the Washington Post was also putting that article up just 4 days ago. Would reparations for slavery be constitutional? So the Washington Post, the paper of record inside the Beltway, is leading a full court press against tangibles, starting with reparations, but it won't end there. Their opposition to black folks getting what we're supposed to have is not going to end with reparations. What they're trying to do is they're trying to find some black folks, some black sock puppets, who will say, black people don't need a check. A check would be wrong. What we need is an apology. It's an apology. The check doesn't matter. The apology matters. Yeah, because an apology doesn't require white supremacy to give up its power. And that lets you know where this Capehart clown stands. But this is the guy who the white media will trot out. And they'll put him on Joy Reid. Joy Reid never gets tired of having him on her show. And you see why. CNN never gets tired of it. MSNBC never gets tired of him. Yeah, the white media never gets tired of him. And now you see why. And he won't be the last. CNN's little four black puppet show that they're going to be having on later this year, this is just the beginning. This is going to be a white media onslaught. We pushed, we hurt the bastards, we drew blood, and now this is their means of trying to find some sort of attempt to counter-program. They're tripping over their shoelaces, they're making big mistakes, but they ain't got a choice. We hurt them. We hurt them badly. And this is what their response is. Because you see, there's something about the whole issue of reparations in general that you need to understand. Gallup poll has been doing an on-again, off-again, mostly off-again survey regarding reparations in the country. And just this month, or rather in July, they released their latest little poll, asking about Americans' views on reparations, and they were contrasting it with the 2002 Gallup poll that they did on the same issue. And what you see is that nationally, reparations are more popular now, more than double the amount of Americans who were in favor of reparations in 2002 favor it today. So support for reparations has doubled since 2002. Think about that. The black population is allegedly smaller than it's ever been percentage-wise. Black people are supposed to be post-racial, and, well, the country's moved beyond all that, and reparations for slavery is more popular now during the Trump era. Shows you how much we've neutralized the alt-right. It's more popular now than it was in 2002. This is what happens when black folks decide they're going to throw their weight around and stop being bashful and stop acting embarrassed that we have to disagree with white opinion. Stop acting embarrassed that we're standing up for ourselves. Don't let the bastards make you knuckle under. Don't let them sit here and push you around. You're in the right. You're supposed to act like you're in the right. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for black people to do nothing. And I said it. This is the reality that white supremacy sees that you haven't seen. As we begin to push, and as we are relentless about pushing for our interests, white supremacy has to back down. And this is what YouTube's scared of. We push and they have to fall back. We come at them and they have to fall back. And they're looking and going, you know, if these guys keep asserting themselves, they're going to drive us right off a cliff. Damn right we are. White supremacy is supposed to be driven off a cliff. White supremacy is not supposed to be able to just hang around and do whatever the hell it wants. Not in a moral world it shouldn't be able to. White supremacy is evil. Evil of a necessity has no place in a moral society. And this society is not moral yet. But if the new voices of black media have our way, and I have it on good authority that we will, oh yeah, we're going to bring justice to the society, all right. And what does justice look like? It looks like black empowerment. But there's something that I want you guys to understand. Whenever white media talks about slavery reparations, they always frame the discussion, well, not discussion, they frame their diatribe in terms of a negative. They always make the headline, such and such percentage of Americans oppose reparations. They always say that. Make sure when they're talking about reparations, it's always Americans oppose reparations. They make sure that's in the headline. If nothing else, you're going to see Americans oppose reparations. They oppose reparations. Americans oppose reparations. At no point does the white media ever frame it as what percentage are in favor of reparations. And they never point out that the percentage of Americans who favor reparations has more than doubled since 2002. They never point out double the number of Americans support reparations than did in 2002. Why is that never the story? Why is it never that reparations has doubled in support? Reparations has grown in support. Almost a third of Americans are in favor of reparations. And if black people are only 13% of the population, that means it's more than us. And that the number is growing. See, they never do that when it comes to tangibles for black folks. Whenever it comes to anything that's in black people's interest, they never ever say that. They never frame it in terms of growing support for something that's in black people, to black people's benefit. That's never the headline. Anything that's to our benefit, it's always Americans oppose that. You know, they oppose that. You want to know why? Because the clowns who work over at Pew Research and at Gallup polling, it's the same kind of trash who work at the Washington Post and YouTube. That's the reason why. The same white supremacist trash who work at YouTube are the same kind of garbage who work over at Gallup polling. That's the reason why. I pointed out to you that when it comes to gay marriage, the white media never says that only 13 or 14% of Americans are in favor of gender neutral bathrooms. They never say that, well, only 25% of Americans are actually in favor of gay marriage. They always say that, well, 30% of Americans are in favor of gay marriage, and that's more than it's been in all of recorded polling. They always framed gay marriage in terms of how many people were in favor of it, not how many people were opposed. This happened to be part of the white media's narrative. The white media happens to favor gay marriage, so that being the case, they want to make sure that their coverage reinforces that loud and clear.
Doesn't matter how many people may have been opposed to it. What mattered was it was something that the white media personally happened to favor, and they used their platform as a means to push what it is that they're in favor of. Well, why is it then that they're not in favor of reparations? Because they are the white media. Reparations threatens the white media, because anything that empowers black people disempowers white supremacy, and the white media is the propaganda arm of white supremacy. They are the official mouthpiece of elite white supremacist opinion. So when you look at a Gallup poll that shows that support for reparations has doubled since 2002, and you ask the common sense question, which is, gee, why is it that you're not pointing out that double the number of Americans are in support of reparations, higher than it's ever been? And that the percentage of Americans who oppose reparations is lower than it's ever been. Why is it that that's not the story? Well, the reason that it's not the story is because that is not what's in the interest of white supremacy. That is not what white supremacy wants out there. They don't want out there the idea that something that benefits black people is growing in support. This despite white supremacy's best interest to try to make it anathema to the society. To try to make reparations a pejorative, make it a dirty word. See, when black people start being bold about what's in our interest, when we start being bold about what it is that we're going to have, then all of a sudden white supremacy retreats. I've been telling you this since day one, all the way back with RIP Black America. It's as simple as this. If we fight, we win. If we don't, we die. White supremacy has to try to find a way to demoralize us, because the only ones who can stop us is us. If we decide that we're going to quit the field, and black people have a bad habit of doing that, that's why white supremacy uses that strategy of trying to demoralize us, trying to distract us, trying to derail us, because all they got to do is distract us for a few minutes, our energy dissipates, and we just wander off as if nothing had happened. But if there's some black voices out there keeping you on the straight and narrow, banging the drum and keeping you on your square and saying, nah, we're not going to let you go back to Xbox. We're not going to let you go back to loving hip hop. We're not going to let you go back to the next episode of Walking Dead. We're not going to let you go back to business as usual. These reparations, these tangibles, that's going to be business as usual. If there are voices out there actually prompting you like that and not letting you go back to the same old, not letting you wander off, that represents an existential threat to white supremacy. It is a threat that they must eliminate. And that's the reason why you see this full court press against us. You can see it with your own freaking eyes. Even Gallup polling had to go ahead and admit, yeah, double the number of Americans favor reparations now. And what's changed since 2002, what's changed is that there happens to be an aggressive, organized, determined black media ecosystem that is speaking to the black masses. And there is now, at this point, a critical mass of black people. There is a requisite number who are listening to this message, who are backing this message, who are promoting this message and running with it. That's what we didn't have before. We didn't have a black media that told you that you have to stand for your power. Instead, it was Jonathan Capehart and his pals saying, you don't need a check. What you need is an apology. Now, that wasn't our idea. That was his idea. In fact, it wasn't even Capehart's idea. It was his white paymasters over at the Washington Post. That was their idea, and they sent him out to sell the soap. So family, I want you to understand exactly what's going on here. None of this stuff is happening inside of a vacuum. None of it at all. All of these things are happening. White supremacy is aware of it, and I need for you to be aware of this as well. Now, as always, if you are not following me on Twitter, you need to do so. When YouTube attacks my channel, as they're attacking this one, you need to make sure that you're already following me on Twitter. That way you know where the rally point's going to be. That way you can go from one channel that gets taken down, you can go to the next one without skipping a beat. We're going to show these guys that we are serious about what it is that we want. We're going to show them that they are not in charge of black society, never have been. Their attempts to manipulate us are going to fail. Their attempts to try to dissipate our energy is going to fail. Their attempts to try to mislead and malign us are going to fail. They are going to gnash their teeth, and they will break against us like a ripple breaks against an iron wall. We are not in the era of the Jonathan Capehearts. We are not in the era of the bootlicks and the fakers, frauds, and phonies. We are not in the era of the Angela Rye with lettuce and tomatoes on the side. We're not in the era of the Bakari sellouts. This is the era of black empowerment. And as surely as night follows day, you can chart our inevitable progress as we are marching toward what we should always have had, and that is power in our hands on our terms. No amount of pathetic censoring or deletion of channels or any of the, or banning you from an entire country, if that's all you got, it ain't enough. You might as well go ahead and write white supremacy's epitaph now and save yourself the trouble. We have always, always been in favor of black empowerment, but never before did we have a critical mass of black people on the message, because there wasn't a media there to make sure to push it and make sure to keep you moving forward and keep everybody going in the same direction. Now you have thought leaders pushing a message detrimental to white supremacy, and this is how God intended it. I have no intention of stopping what I'm doing. Even if I'm the only one out here listening to it, I would much rather be alone and know that I'm right than be part of a human herd and be dead wrong. But the beautiful part is I ain't alone. I got my B1 Brigadiers, and we also have the fellow travelers with us. Those of you who have been listening to this message and thinking of it as politically oriented entertainment, you better pull your head out of the sand or wherever else you got it tucked. We are in a life and death struggle with white supremacy. And as we have shown you here, looking at the numbers, white supremacy's on the wane. They're trying to put a pretty face on it, but YouTube's scared to death. And you look at these numbers, our power growing, our influence growing. What we say coming to pass is growing. And what white supremacy's scared of is sooner or later, we are not going to have a mouthpiece for white supremacy constantly lying about us and sending out their bootlicks like Jonathan Capehart to say, no, black people don't need a check. We're not going to tolerate white supremacy trying to undermine us. At some point, we're going to be taking those white supremacist outlets and we're going to be shouting them down, relegating them to irrelevance, and that is going to be the end of them. They will become extinct because black empowerment will demand that their lies be stopped, and we will have enough resources to stop the lies. That's where this is going. Now, some of you may not see it that way, but those of us who happen to be the thought leaders for black empowerment, we've always seen this, and you better believe white supremacy figured this out a few years back. They figured out exactly where this is going. Seeing that the numbers of people in America who are already seeing that our righteous demands for tangibles are irresistible, you thought that it was just that we were just banging our heads against the wall. No, the more that we say this, the bolder we become about it as we force the message of black tangibles, tangibles for the survivors of slavery in America. When we start forcing that into the discussion, now that we have forced the issue of tangibles for us to be said by the black bootlicks and now increasingly by political candidates seeking the highest office in the land, what's happened is we've gone from reparations being forbidden to it being fringe. It ain't mainstream, but it can get there. White supremacy wants to stop it before it gets to that point. As far as they're concerned, it's gone too damn far already, because we were the ones who pushed this. We were the ones who laid the groundwork that years and years ago, banging that drum, if you're not bringing us tangibles, if you're not coming up to us with a black agenda for black people, specifically those of us who came out of slavery, if you're not coming up to us with that, then forget it. We don't care to hear anything you have to say. And as you can see, one of white supremacy's own little intelligence gathering operations, which is what Gallup polling is, even they are having to report that what we're doing is succeeding. It's working. This is the reason why you see YouTube trying to find a way to censor what it is that I'm saying. Because they don't want you knowing that we're winning. Their position is desperate. You can have $1 billion and still be standing there with your knees knocking, your teeth chattering, and urine purring down your legs because of the fact that black empowerment's on the march. You can be $1 billion coward. That's what's going on here. Because yes, it does matter how much money you got. Money certainly is power in a world that runs on money. But you know what's the greatest power of all? A group of people who have a righteous indignation and a legitimate grievance. who are determined to have their power and to have it on their own terms. That's more powerful than the white media's bankroll. That's more powerful than the corrupt white supremacist elites who back up the Googles and the YouTubes and the CNNs and the MSNBCs and the Washington Posts. Jeff Bezos may have a lot of money, but we've got more numbers than him. He may be able to buy some handpicked black bootlicks to tell his lies, but at the end of the day, Jonathan Capehart only represents one ignorant and irrelevant vote. The new voices of black media represent the future. So let white supremacy try their increasingly feeble and pathetic tactics to try to stymie us. It won't work. We're going to stay on our square. We're going to push this message. They will gnash their teeth. They will try one increasingly desperate and stupid attempt after the next to try to silence us, and it won't work. The number of people who are in favor of tangibles and reparations now is at 29% today. It will be at 50% before you know it, because that's the thing. At this point, what that means is ain't but 21 percentile points to go before even the white media has to admit a majority of Americans are in favor of it. The determinant of victory or defeat is going to come down to you. If they are able to wait you out, if they are able to stonewall you till you eventually lose interest or to wear you down, then white supremacy will win. But you take a look at this. The biggest amount of movement that's come on this issue didn't happen over the course of 17 years. It only happened in the last few years. When black people stop being bashful about what is in our interest, then the whole damn world has no point, has no choice but to step aside. They'll step aside and no longer be in our way, but that depends on us. Don't let any of these shenanigans from these white supremacist clowns bother you at all. This is a war. What do you expect? We expect the enemy, and that's what people like YouTube and CNN and Washington Post represent. We expect the enemy to fight. We expect the enemy to fight hard because they're fighting for their existence. White supremacy is fighting for its existence, and they know that we represent the end of white supremacy, so they're in a fight for their survival, and it's a fight that they know they're going to lose. White supremacy is going to go extinct. And that being the case, we expect them to come at us with every dirty, underhanded move that they can. This is a fight for their survival, one that they know that they're going to lose. So of course they're going to come with everything plus the kitchen sink. We expect that. And you know what else I want to condition you to expect? That black empowerment is going to win.